The Dope Science Show hit the streets, Afrotech edition. I want to share the experience with you as much as I can. It was an overwhelmingly beautiful weekend. I had lots of adventures and I learned a lot, but the greatest takeaway were the connections I made while I was at the event. I am going to follow up and with everyone that I got into contact with, one of the greatest pieces of advice that they gave was network with people who are on the same level as you. Like, network with your friends, network with anyone else who's a hustler trying to make it, and you guys can help each other. Another cool thing was the random celebrities that were at the event that are there for the culture, just like we were. And I'm sure next year this is going to be an even bigger event, and it should be this way. You know, this is Afrotech, which is like Afropunk for tech, right? This will be our, you know, our once a year mecca for black excellence. One of the celebrities I met, which was super cool, was Hannibal Buress. He was there. I was like, hey, I know you. He was like, hey, I know you too. And we just like vibed and talked about Facebook targeted marketing, who we thought should win the pitch competition. And then he threw a party at a local bar called Oak, Mad Oak in Oakland. And we watch Saturday Night Live. It was a watch party for Tiffany Haddish, because this was a memorable moment. The first black female comic to host Saturday Night Live. So we had a blast, and I talked to a lot of people. I connected with comics, which I wanted to do because I'm going to incorporate stand-up comics into my new show, season 2 of the Dope Science Show. But I'm rambling, you guys, and I hope you guys enjoy this show and you get a little feel of what I experienced when I was at Afrotech. Talk to you soon. Peace. I forgot to mention, I want to make sure you guys know, Hannibal Buress is super smart, and I highly respect everyone who was at the event, because that lets me know that you are ahead of the curve. And he was super down to earth, super funny, and super like hospitable. I just want to make sure you guys know that. So when you do see him one day, just make sure you say what's up and treat him like the awesome human being that he is. All right, now we can start the show. Peace. All right, you guys. I am enjoying the weather while I wait in this long, long line for food. But it smells so good, so I'm sure it'll be totally worth it. And I met this wonderful woman. I'll let her introduce herself, because you guys know I'm not good at introductions. But she's here at Afrotech to talk about, to learn more about technology and network and meet more women. So I'll let you go ahead and introduce yourself.
Sure. Hi, my name is Juma K. Dada. I'm a tech consultant and the founder of the Tech Women Network. I came out to Afrotech. This is my first time here, just to connect with other African Americans in technology, specifically women. I launched the Tech Women Network in March of this year. It's an online platform where women can share their technical expertise and connect to other resources. So it's techwomennetwork.com, and I'm glad and excited to be at Afrotech.
Awesome. I appreciate that. I am interested in breaking into tech as well. I have a background in project management. So for someone in my position who has a background in project management, how would you recommend I market my management skills to go into a translate that into a tech industry? Do you have any recommendations?
Well, I think you're in a good spot because there's so many, especially in the startup space, there's so many companies now that are looking for people that can help manage and track tasks for deployment of applications or launches, etc. So I think you're in a good space to start. I think it's really just about identifying what type of tech project management you want to do. Do you want to work in a startup space? Do you want to work at a corporation and work in their product or project management operation? Depending on what it is, I would just say that it's just a matter of identifying that and then going forward. If you want to work in the startup space, I think you're in a good space right now with Afrotech. But it's really just about finding where it is that you want to be. I think you already have the skill set with project management, so it's just a matter of you making your decision.
If I wanted to use your new platform, what kind of resources would I look for in order to, you know, be able to break into tech or find resources or mentorship?
Yeah. So on the platform, women sign up, they create profiles, they list specify what their skill sets are, but there's also a resources section. So people have the ability to post jobs, mentorship opportunities, speaking opportunities, events, etc. So it's really easy to use. It's just it's a searchable database, essentially. So if you're looking for a job, you would just go in and say, I'm looking for jobs within this location. If you're looking for, let's say, a mentor, a woman with a specific skill set, you would plug in her name, location, and what skills you're looking for. So it just takes out having to be connected to someone because it's all about the skills.
Wow, that sounds really awesome. I can't wait to check out your platform. Can you tell us again where we can find it?
Sure. It's called the Tech Women Network, so it's techwomennetwork.com. And it's the same on Instagram and on Twitter. It's just Tech Women Work.
And I didn't catch your full name.
Sure. I'm Juma K. Dada.
Thank you so much. I hope you have a great event.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hello, you guys. I'm so excited. I just left the marketing track at AfroTech, and I had the pleasure of watching this presentation by Lamar from the agency RGA, and I had a really quick question about artificial intelligence. I'll let him move forward with that.
Hi, I'm Lamar Hines. I'm an executive technology director at RGA, and I focus on managing technology execution across a variety of clients in our portfolio. I am blessed to be here today and thank Morgan and the Blavity team for creating this beautiful movement we call AfroTech. And it's a blessing to be around a large collection of young professionals, industry vets, and courageous founders that are out here doing great things. So happy to be here and happy to be talking about marketing technology and artificial intelligence.
Great. And my question that I really would love to hear your answer is, just let's speculate for a minute. What do you predict happening, or what do you think will be the future of artificial intelligence and marketing? How will they be how will they impact each other?
So I'll start by answering that the future is here, and certainly there is more to come in the future itself. So what we're already seeing when you start to look at the marketing tech landscape is things like demand-side platforms and data management platforms partner together where we have a variety of different activities going on. So one thing within artificial intelligence that's going on now specifically is data management platforms are creating machine learning algorithms to do things like lookalike modeling. So if I'm a brand today and I'm looking to grow, what I can do is I can look at my most valuable customers, and then I can work with data brokers and data exchanges and say, can you find customers that look like this valuable customer of mine? And then I can target those people. And that's a way of actually being very specific about how you're approaching advertising. And ultimately, that's how you're able to be a bit more efficient and actually grow your audience in a quantifiable way.
Oh, that's awesome. So basically, the machine learning will be able to identify and create algorithms that will be able to pinpoint or create a niche of your ideal customer.
Exactly. And extending on that, I'd say another interesting space is computer vision. So if you start to think about something like fashion and you tie that into social, so if I can look at your social profile and see how you dress, I might be able to, through computer vision, actually create some mental picture of what your likes and dislikes are from a fashion perspective, and then serve up actionable recommendations that leads to more effective marketing, whether that be on site or on, you know, paid media, et cetera.
One of the brands that I see that's really popular right now is a brand called Fashion Nova. And they're an affordable but very trendy like type of vendor, and e-commerce and social media is a big part of their business plan. And when you go to their website, one of the, I guess, early stages of what you're talking about is you'll see if you liked a particular dress that was short and green, they will recommend a series of similar dresses. So I think that's maybe an elementary version of what you're speculating or envisioning.
Yeah, exactly. So in some cases, brands can just implement that, and it doesn't have to be a mad data scientist. It's just someone saying that all of these, you know, dresses are green, so maybe we'll serve them up. But in other cases that are more advanced, when you're starting to deal with like a larger brand that has, you know, thousands or maybe hundreds of thousands of products, there gets to a point where that's actually not, you know, a sustainable and scalable process. So that's where something like computer vision comes into play, where instead of having a human do that over time, you can have a computer vision system with machine learning algorithms that is actually looking at your product imagery and actually self-tagging those photos, so that when you look to pull those recommendations in the future, that attribution is there to provide that level of targeted recommendations. And then above and beyond saying something is like a green dress, you know, you can also look at really advanced custom machine learning models that get into like, you know, that's an urban look, or, you know, that is more of a classic look, or, you know, that's like a summer vibe, etc. So you can create these custom machine learning algorithms that are very ultra targeted and can also focus on your addressable audiences and how that relates to your product.
Awesome. And all I have in my head is, it's a vibe. Hey, that'll be really awesome for like small brands. I used to work in apparel, and one of the biggest challenges was like, how many of such and such shirts should we make, you know, being able to predict that. So I think that'll be really, really influential for small brands even. So I really appreciate your time. I know you're busy, and I hope you have a great event.
All right. Thank you. It's a pleasure being able to join the Dope Science Show. And again, I'm just so excited to be at Afrotech and enjoying the movement and the energy that's here.
All right, peace, thanks.
Not recording.
No, now I am. Hey, you guys, this is Steph. I'm at Afrotech doing the Hit the Streets segment. I'm here with a gentleman who is a founder of a new startup. I'll let him go ahead and introduce himself and tell us why he's at Afrotech and just what inspires him about science or whatever comes to mind.
My name is Charles Curry. I'm founder and CEO of Mylu Incorporated. Mylu is a startup application on Android and iOS. The intent of it is to connect people to the best events tailored to their events around them and people that are interested in things that they're interested in. I came up with this concept going to a tech school 3,000 miles away, and I just didn't know anyone or where to go around me, and so this idea came to me to make that situation more tenable for people like myself.
So basically you had a need and you didn't see that in the market, and you're like, well, I can fulfill that need and start your own startup and technology for that.
Absolutely. And regarding your question about my passion for technology or sciences, I think that specifically for black boys and girls, black individuals, that's the great equalizer. Whether you're in socioeconomically disadvantaged or disenfranchised environments, there's many free ways to learn how to code and empower yourself and get employment without a degree. Just being able to show your skills and your abilities to develop and build products can get you a job out of the gate and get you into school. So I think it's an amazing opportunity. We're in an amazing time.
Awesome. I agree. I feel like technology, as you were saying, is at a point where it's attainable for anyone. Well, the average American, at least, can have access to technology and be able to start their own company and find their own financial independence. You said that your app is going to be is designed with the desire for people to be able to find meetups in spaces that are catered to their likes and desires, and that also it'll be a platform where people can actually engage when they're like at a conference, right? So that sounds really awesome. Well, I appreciate your time. Is there any? Where can people find you? Do you have a website or Instagram or anything where people can find you at?
Right. So we're on social media at Mailu app. That's the handle, and the website is download Mailu. I believe that's the website, the URL.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, and I hope you have a great event.
Thank you.
Hey, you guys. I am at the happy hour for sponsored by Facebook at the Marquee, the Marriott Marquee. Everyone's having fun and drinking, and I got a wonderful entrepreneur slash activist to talk to me about his project. So I'm going to let him go ahead and tell his story.
So how is everybody doing? Thank you for having me, first of all. My name is Brian Bethay, and I'm a software developer. I actually work for Major League Soccer. Originally from North Carolina, moved to New York to actually do music. and I was in the industry. I was meeting people you want to meet, seeing the people you want to see. Just wasn't really able to make the money that you want to make. So I eventually transitioned to tech. And the cool thing about that, I was working in the industry in terms of, like, an audio engineer. And so transitioning to tech, you know, I was the same skill set, but just different tools. That's really what it came down to, you know, the difference between the two. But it was crazy. So I ended up, you know, I decided, like, hey, I'm going to go back to school to learn tech. And enrolled into Brooklyn College. And, you know, that was like literally, I was willing to do another 3 years for it. But then somebody told me about the whole thing with boot camps. And it's like, that was really new to me at the time. Because, again, boot camps and stuff like that don't exist in, like, North Carolina, where I'm from, at least. So, and they say, hey, man, it's a better way to go after what you're trying to do. Like, this boot camp, you can get same results faster. So I essentially, you know, found a really good boot camp and applied to it and got accepted. And the boot camp that I got accepted to was a Google-sponsored boot camp. So that was really good. So 6 months, you know, I finished the training. Yeah, 6 months as opposed to 3 years. And so I finished, you know, the training. And then after that, you know, it was crazy because, like, my tutors that I would have at this boot camp were from Tumblr, from Google, from, like, the brand name companies that you want to, you know, be at. And for the life of me, the whole time, I couldn't fathom what would make them say, hey, after work, they would get off and come help us out. Like, literally, and be there for a long time, like at 6 o'clock type thing, and be there for, like, 8 or 10, 8 or 9. And at first, I thought they were getting paid for it. So I was like, okay, I understand it. But then I realized they weren't getting paid for it. And that just blew my mind. But it also taught me, like, the culture of, like, what tech is all about. And it's really about paying it forward. That's what we kind of say. So once I kind of, like, understood that whole, because in music, you know, I was always trying to do things in music, like form groups, form communities and things of that nature. But music, in my opinion, was so cutthroat because everybody was only out for themselves and nobody really wanted to help each other, right? And so coming into tech when it was, like, you know, finding out that's what this culture is like, it was just brand new to me. But I also felt obligated to kind of, you know, once I finished to, like, before I even looked for a job, I was like, I felt obligated to spread this word about tech to the community and the people that come from the same environments that I come from, because I know I wouldn't have known about the opportunities in tech until I moved to New York. So I ended up founding this organization called Hip Hop Hacktivists. And what I do with Hip Hop Hacktivists, I use the appeal and the influence of hip hop culture to introduce tech to minority underrepresented groups, youth, essentially. Again, these kids come from backgrounds where tech would change the opportunities that exist in tech would change their whole circumstances. And a lot of them don't even think tech is cool. That's why they really don't mess with it. Again, they think being a rapper and being an athlete, you know, those are things that are cool. So my whole play is, like, I'm trying to get, like, athletes and rappers to advocate and say that tech is the shit, you know, or tech is cool. Right, okay. So imagine how many kids, again, would be into programming if, like, Jay-Z told them this was dope. You know, all the kids in Brooklyn be on it at that point. So my most recent event was at Tumblr. And out of 100 kids that applied, I was only able to take 45 of them. And out of, like, 60 tech mentors throughout NYC, I was only able to take 27 of them, just, you know, to scale this thing. And what we did, again, we took kids with no coding experience. None of them really thought it was cool. And we set them down with real tech professionals, allowed them to come up with an idea and build that idea. They was a part of the whole app-making process, no coding needed. And and they got to really see what it was about. They got to see the inside offices of Tumblr. It was like a playground to them. And all that is all to wow them. It was like really my goal was to wow them and say, oh, snap, this is what happens. There's a lot of money being made to come here every day. And that was my whole goal with it, to kind of give them that wow experience. And then after it was over, it was like, okay, now I got them wow. Now I got to hook them up with resources and things to continue. Unfortunately, it was like, again, these kids are in high school, so they're too young to go to boot camps. And if they don't got coding in their school, then they just kind of SOL. So the only thing I could do at that point, like where I'm at with my program, is like give them the resources and to further learn and stuff like that. So, you know, did that. And since that event, you know, I planned more events with Uber, with Google, Vice, you know, media, and just like more future events in the future. So, yeah, that's essentially what I do. I'm really passionate about it. And it's crazy because it came to me out of, like, it wasn't something that I planned. It's just like, I just felt like it was my responsibility to do. And I didn't know, like, I would enjoy doing this type of work, you know. But I love that aspect. That's the aspect of tech that I love, just trying to bring others into it and building a community around it. So, yeah. I don't know. What else you want to
I'm like, I was wild. When we started this conversation, I didn't know much about your background.
Right.
And I've considered doing a boot camp too, because I would like to get more, maybe make a career change myself and get into tech. And I look at the prospect of like education and money and how much time it's going to take. And how much time it's going to take, and I'm intimidated, and I don't know like which boot camps are good or which ones are not, you know. So that's something I think a lot of people would need or would appreciate guidance for. So maybe I can put that in the links, like just maybe resources that you've used or you would recommend. You know, and maybe we can work together as well. I really like what you're doing and being able to give kids like a pathway into tech and getting them engaged. And I think you're so close. I think your concept of connecting hip hop with tech is right on the point, is right on the tipping point, because tech is becoming more and more trendy. And like you said, all it's going to take is one artist, one like big name. That is all it's going to take. And then all these people who spend their time, nothing wrong in sports, but all these people who invest their time in sports, you'll see a brand new wave of people who are now representing tech.
What's crazy right now is that you have all these celebrities, these athletes, these art musicians they want to be in tech. I was speaking to Chameleonaire earlier today. I saw him at the event, and he's one of the earlier people that understood, like that started investing into tech. Nas has his own venture capitalist firm. Will.i.am is doing something. So you have these people trying to get into tech. Kalani just came and spoke about her thing, you know. Stephen Curry, he has a tech company out right now, you know, the basketball player or whatever. And so you got this wave happening, but, again, you don't have them telling – like, I need them to, like, really advocate for this, you know, and really stand up for this. So my event was a Kendrick Lamar inspired social coding event. Again, of course, all the kids thought Kendrick Lamar was going to be there. Yeah, it's all about marketing, how you work, right? But, you know, when they got there, I had an artist there, but it wasn't Kendrick Lamar, of course. But again, in the future, where I'm trying to grow to is like to actually have these coding events around these artists, but them actually being a part of it. Not necessarily them being at a rap or whatever, but them even in the building, sitting at a table and playing with some code, just for the visual, you know, because a lot of what makes it, my own experience, I never even thought about tech. Again, my background, I played football all my life. So I understand, like, these kids looking up the athletes and looking up the artists, because that was my whole process. So, like, all my life I played football. I ended up lucky enough to go to college and get a scholarship. I ended up going to Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina. And after I was done with football, I said, hey, I love music too, so let me go do music. So it's like I did everything and then ended up transitioning to tech. So when I talk to these kids about that, I feel like I'm like authentic in terms of me saying it coming from me. Being there, I've done the athlete thing. I've done the music thing. And now I'm telling you, hey, this is where you want to be. Like this is like a for sure plan to take the money that you can make here and put it. It ain't even saying that you, it ain't even saying you can't do music. It's like, hey, it's probably a smarter way to actually make it more successful. Fund it, you know. So, yeah, like I really believe in this and really believe, like, you know, if I can get like these influencers to advocate, man, it's gonna be really big, because hip hop, the culture, everything is influenced by that. Like these kids speak the language of hip hop, and again, you had these people saying like, we don't know how to get children involved. It's like, because you're not speaking their language. Yeah. And like, from the way they speak, from the clothes they wear, and even they probably don't realize that they're influenced by hip hop culture. You know, when you see Mary J. Blige doing McDonald's commercials, it's just like the world is hip hop has a huge influence. So, you know, yeah.
I'm so inspired. I'm so glad we talked about this. And I know if you keep doing what you're doing and networking, you've already, you know, I think you're this close to like making a breakthrough, and you've already influenced so many kids with your events. And can you say the name of your company again and where everyone can find you?
So it's hiphophacktivist.com. So you go there and check us out, hiphophacktivist.com. And yeah, you can kind of read more about us, see what we do. And just, you know, keep you updated with all the new things that are going to be happening with us. So definitely, you know, go and check us out. So.
And what was your name again?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Brian Bethay. So yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And we'll definitely connect again. Hey, you guys. It is Saturday, the second day of AfroTech. I'm so excited to network more. Yesterday, I was going to all the panels, which were super informative and inspiring. But today, I hope I can interview a lot more people, especially women. I met this wonderful lady walking around, and she is a sickle cell an advocate, and she has a nonprofit that raises awareness about sickle cell. I'll go ahead and let her introduce herself, and then she'll tell you a little bit more about who she is, what she does, and why she's come to AfroTech.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Cassandra Trimnell, and I am founder and executive director of Sickle Cell 101. We are a nonprofit organization based in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. And we're happy to be at AfroTech this year. So informative. One thing we do with Sickle Cell 101 is we educate the patient population about sickle cell disease, along with the general public. And we do that through social media. And so we found that we are able to reach people by the tens and thousands through social media. We have users from over 72 different countries. And so we're still growing, and we still have a long way to go, but we really want sickle cell to become a household name and for people to get tested to find out whether they carry the sickle cell gene or not. We are here at AfroTech this year to network and to learn more about how we can better serve our following on social media and of course, to educate and raise awareness for sickle cell. So,
I just had a question that came to mind.
Yes, we're recording.
Awesome, you guys. You know what this is? This is the Dope Science Show, Hit the Streets. And I have a really, really, really fascinating, inspiring woman sitting next to me. We met online. And then we ran into each other yesterday at the Facebook after party, and she gave me so much love, and I think it was actually my highlight of this whole AfroTech experience. I'm going to let her go ahead and introduce herself and give us her feedback on why she came to AfroTech, and just she can talk a little bit more about what she's doing. And yes, you guys, I am tired. This has been a really fun, long weekend, and I'm just going to stop rambling and let her go.
Hey, everybody. Should I hold it? Okay, cool. So my name is Ayori Selassie. I'm the founder of Selfpreneur. Selfpreneur is essentially leaning on the bet that in the future, starting now, entrepreneurship and employment is going to merge. And essentially what that creates is the age of the selfpreneur, which is the era where folks will start switching from being dependent on business models for their longevity and livelihoods, and they'll be more dependent on creating what we call a life model. And that's really a sustainable way of living. So we leverage artificial intelligence with the top life coaches, and we combine that to create an experience that helps people to really have magnificent growth in their life. We help people through major transitions as well as minor transitions and just living their best life in general. So that's our vision. I've been working on this for the past 6 years. It was born out of some extremely challenging transitions that I had in my own personal life. You know, as a result of, you know, I live in Oakland, California. I experienced a lot of difficult transitions with just having to move a lot throughout the gentrification that's been happening, and also just having some family troubles, you know, some difficult family troubles, and trying to be like, well, wow, how am I going to make it? Like, how am I going to get to the vision, the grand vision that I have for my life? So I started doing a lot of writing, and I started to create these different frameworks, and they were actually really, really effective for me. And then people started asking me, like, Yori, how do you do this? How do you balance being a mom with this amazing career in tech and, you know, entrepreneurship? And how do you help so many people? And I started sharing my framework with other people. And they were like, this is amazing. And, like, you should make this available to other people. For a long time, I thought it was silly. And I thought, no, I'm really the only person who can use this because I think so, you know, procedurally, and I'm very detail oriented, and like, I'm into this rigor and like process. But it turns out that they were right, and a lot of people really loved it, and they really benefited from it. And so we've had a lot of incredible success with our customers. We have large corporate clients, and they implement our tools for their employees. And then we've had some really amazing stories with women who are leaders in companies and people just doing really difficult things and living better lives. And that's really been my joy. And so coming here to AfroTech has been amazing because there's so many diverse people and so many diverse stories. And they're all really in that age of the selfpreneur as well, that balance between entrepreneurship and finding great technical success in large tech companies.
I can't wait to find out more about your company and what you do, because one of the reoccurring themes that I've heard at the conference and I've expressed myself is, I was saying, wouldn't it be cool if you're like, I want to do this, and then there'd be some sort of platform that gives you a pathway on how to reach that goal. Like, say for instance, you want to be a software engineer at Facebook, like what would be the steps that other people have done that, and then this like app or something would tell you, you know? And I'm not sure exactly if that's what your company does, but I see the potential in that type of like artificial intelligence and assistance and being able to have that personal coaching.
Yeah, that's precisely what it is. I mean, you talked about being able to see someone who's done, you know, excellent and who's you know, inspired you to want to seek something, you know, greater in your life. And what we call that is a life model. So everyone has a life model, and they have a story, and they have a process that they've gone through. And it's not a one-size-fits-all. You can't just take another person's life model and fit it into yours. But you can take small elements. You can take pieces of that, and you can try it out in an experimental format in your own life. And life model design is the methodology that we created to allow people to rapidly do experimentation in their own life, and artificial intelligence essentially helps our customers by consuming all the different data points and helping them find those aspects and elements to experiment on in their own life model.
Well, that's awesome. I use that word a lot because I need a greater vocabulary, but I'm just trying to express my feelings. Yori is here also with her daughter, who's the only child at this event. And I wonder, why did you bring her? I know that she's 11 and she's like not that really into it. She's like, I'm here. But what do you hope that bringing her or having your children around events like this, what are you hoping to seed in her?
Thank you for asking that. I've always brought my daughter to events and stuff like this all the time. And it was in part because, you know, I am a mother and I've had experiences throughout my career where people have wanted me to discount my motherhood or to downplay it because they felt that it would create doubt, that others may have doubt about my abilities because I have family responsibilities. And I think that's completely laughable and ridiculous. And so my family is a part of everything that I do. They inspire me. They enable me. And whenever I can bring my daughter in to see what I do and to see why I do it, it means a lot to me. And I think it helps her to really understand what she's a part of, like what creates the sustainable lifestyle that we've been able to, you know, build for ourselves. It helps her to see different paths that she can go down. And, you know, as a mom, I want my daughter to see more, you know, strong, successful African women, women of African descent, African Americans from all different, you know, shapes and sizes and perspectives and styles of communication, because you know, she models after me a lot, but I really want her to find who she is. And I think you can find who you are by really seeing more people who are their true authentic self. And the other thing that's just amazing about this event is, like, it's just a bunch of black people. Like, it's just a bunch of amazing, talented black people. Like, Chamillionaire is here, you know, and it's like, he's a rapper and he's at a tech event. He's not at a tech event because he's performing. He's at a tech event because he's an investor. He's a creator of tech. He's a lover of technology. And I want her to know that we, as a culture, we are a part of every aspect of the society. Even if people may make the assumption that, oh, she's here to perform, or they're here, you know, as an artist or, you know, a certain type of creator, we can do whatever we want to do. And it's all around us. So, I mean, that's the thing that's really inspired me to bring her here today. And I think she'll remember this. I think she'll remember this. And, yeah.
Well, on that note, I would like you to let everyone know where they can find you, your social media and your website, where they can find more about what you're doing with your company.
So you can find me personally on Twitter and Instagram at iayori, I-A-Y-O-R-I. You can also find my website, theselfpreneur.com. So that's the S-E-L-F-P-R-E-N-E-U-R.com. That's also my Instagram and my Twitter.
All right. Well, I hope you have a great rest of your event. And it was a pleasure. All right. I'm enjoying the view during lunch. Oh, it's so awesome. And I met these group of, like, awesome. I think you guys are students. Yes. Yeah, because they look really young. And we're just talking about our experiences here at AfroTag. And so I'm going to just let them go ahead and introduce themselves and tell us why they came and what they're excited about. And we'll go from there.
So, hi, I'm Amani. Came kind of from Jamaica just to Massachusetts for school, go to WPI, Worcester Polytechnic Institute. I'm really studying mechanical engineering, but I do have my creative and artistic side. So I definitely love meeting young creatives. And in this space in AfroTech, I've just noticed it's a blending of every department. So you have the marketing, you have definitely the engineering track and so forth. And really seeing how you can combine everything, how do I even think about blending both of my sides, the artistic side as well as the engineering side of me. It's really unique just to see how people go about some of their ideas and launching their ideas into the real world and implementing it in society. So that's, you know, and also just for the culture, pretty much.
Hi, my name is Justin. I go to Worcester Polytech Institute outside of Boston. I am a computer science major from Worcester. I'm here in San Francisco, living it up by the view. it's being a computer science major. It's always been a dream to come to San Fran with being so close to Silicon Valley and everything. And something I didn't expect was just how friendly everyone would be here. Just sitting down, talking to anyone, people come up to you, you go up to someone, and then you have an hour-long conversation on what you guys have been up to, what are you learning, and then exchange contact information. Now you have a new network. That was definitely probably my biggest takeaway from this conference, that it's just so good to see how many people are just so friendly and so willing to work with you and help you learn, and how you can also help others. So, yeah, over here. Links are fixed.
Hi, so my name is Veda. I am a senior electrical and computer engineering major. I'm originally from Los Angeles, but I also go to school at WPI, which is in the East Coast. And so I really came to AfroTech to kind of just surround myself with individuals who are like me and are in the tech and entrepreneurship field, because one of my long-term goals is to be an entrepreneur and have my own company. And it was just really, really interesting seeing the ideas that people had and talking to all these people. And everybody is just really friendly and like open to just talking. So I just love the whole experience, and I definitely want to come back next year to kind of like share my experience again. And a long-term goal is to come back as a corporate sponsor at some point in time and maybe be one of the people on a stage giving advice to the next group of young people on how to succeed in life.
Well, I hope you guys heard that, because I'm sure you'll be here next year because you don't want to miss this event. This is, yes, I was here last year, and it was much smaller. I think there were like 300 of us, which looked like a lot, but the venue was smaller, but it worked, because I was like, wow, there's a lot of us here. And now it's like almost 2,000. And Blavity has done amazing scaling up for this event and just keeping that networking aspect, and still it's intimate. And yeah, I'm a huge fan, and I'm glad that you guys had the time to talk to me. So did you guys want to like tell anyone where they can find you, or you guys want to stay anonymous? Yeah. But you guys are awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys so much.
Okay.
All right, you guys, this is the end of the conference. It just closed with Boz from Uber. She gave a really amazing, inspiring talk about how she got where she is now, and how you can be a black leader in any industry, any role in your life. And I walked out and I met this really cool gentleman, and I haven't even got his name, but we started rambling about like how awesome this is, how much in awe we are of seeing all these black people and people of color who are inspired. They're engineers, they're software developers, they're startup founders. We're talking about angel investors. We have new technology like from Listener, which is basically like Wi-Fi that's done via sound waves. That's the easiest way to describe it. And I can go on and on, and I will. But let me share some of this enthusiasm with you guys. I'll let you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us why you came to AfroTech, and just what is your best takeaway from the event.
Okay, my name is Christian Ward. I ended up at AfroTech because I actually got accepted into the UCLA Bootcamp Extension. And my sister, who actually funded that for me, she was like, I got you tickets to this thing called AfroTech. And as soon as I went and looked it up, I was like, okay, I'm about this life. I'm about this life. I went out there and I came. And I was just coming because I wanted to see what the industry was like. It's something that I'm currently getting into. And then you walk into this place, just being here, not even the talks, not even the what they're offering. It's just being in the space with the smartest black folks in the world are all here, which are some of the smartest people in the world that just happen to be, you know, have super high melanin content. And it's amazing just to be here. It's not even it's bigger than what you can get. A lot of people coming here because they want to get jobs. They're trying to go to Uber. They're trying to go to Amazon. They're trying to do all that stuff. But the reality is, it's just like being here and connected with people that are, you know, in marketing or in the creative space or in technology. It's amazing. And I just want to, like, now I see what I'm up against. I just want to be the dopest programmer possible. Like, I'm going to be the dopest developer. Like, I'm going to be speaking here in, like, 2 years. 3 years. I'm going to have 3 years because I want it to be all the way popping. Like, so it's just amazing. I feel like anyone should come here. Like, I feel like people, you know how they have the diversity officers and, like, yeah. I feel like, you know, they should just, even the people that are you know, white folks should come here. Asian folks should come, because you need to see this, because you don't realize that this is here. And you don't realize what it looks like, because they don't understand the aesthetic. They don't understand the Black aesthetic. So the way we speak to each other, the way we react to each other, the way you only see us in relation to their own experience. They only see us in relation to their own experience. And so when you get to see this, come to our space, see how we get down, and we're doing the same stuff you're doing with our flavor. You, like, you know what I mean? I was at a talk where there was a Biggie reference. Like, we closed out with Cardi B playing. You know, we're turning up, you know what I mean? People are being, we're being our fullest selves, you know, in culturally and intellectually. And we never get a chance to do that. And this is one of the spaces where we can come together and, you know, I'm just trying to find me a wife.
It's so funny you said that. I think you're, like, the third guy who said that. He was like, well, you know, to be honest, I'm here to see all these beautiful Black women, you know. I'm like, I get that. That's cool, you know. Yeah. But I definitely, I'm excited. This was an awesome event, you guys. And this celebrate diversity and inclusion, because it's only a strength. People feel uncomfortable when you say things that are considered identity politics, you know. Oh, I'm Latinx, or I'm this and I'm that. And I don't see that as a negative, because I'm not saying you can't be in our space. I'm just defining a space where I can be myself, you know, where we can be ourselves. And we can explore our full potential as ourselves, and is a strength. And so I hope anyone listening to this comes to Afrotech next year, follows Blavity, and just reaches out to the people who were at this event, because these are the game changers of our future. I was interviewed for a quick little thing that Netflix was doing, where they asked, what would you want tech to look like? And my answer was simple. I just want it to look like us, because it's normal, you know? So on that note, you guys, I thank you so much for listening to the show, and I will talk to you guys soon. Hit me up if you want to know more. I can send you details. I've got resumes. I got contacts. I networked my ass off while I was here. So feel free to reach out. Peace.